And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And great to be with you on this Friday morning or evening, wherever you may be tuning into the broadcast. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so, as we will continue to develop our theme here and our lives in the Bible. Today we'll talk about the application of the Bible in our lives in a very practical way, and what that means, and perhaps even how we can misapply portions of the Bible in our lives. But we will, open that can of worms, so to speak, and develop that theme with you today. Thanks again for joining us. My name is Pastor John Love, along with Pastor Shibeli in the studio here on this Friday morning. We'll get things started for you in just a moment. It's good to be with you, Pastor Shibeli. We haven't been together in the Grace Hour for a long time.
Where have we been?
They broke up the team here for a while. But that probably had something to do with it. But glad to be back in the studio with you today. And this is such an important theme, because whenever it comes comes down to the Scriptures, especially the application of the Scriptures in our lives, that's critically important. Because, I mean, who would want to read the Bible? Who would want to study the Bible if it's not going to be incorporated into your life?
It would just be to gain knowledge, or to think you know something, but you don't really know anything at all. And it's very interesting to me, because when I was reading it this morning, I was reading about the temptation in the wilderness and how Satan actually quoted a Bible verse. You know, he used the Bible against the living word, which I thought that was interesting. And I love how Jesus answered. When the devil said, "It is written," Jesus said, "It is said." He changed it. Before, he was answering, "It is written," "It is written" twice. But when the devil, this is in the book of Luke, when the devil came on that ground and said, "It is written," you know, "You can cast yourself down. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you." But he misquoted, "To keep you in all your ways." Well, it wasn't the way of Jesus to throw himself down. You know, that wasn't it. So that's when Jesus said, "It is said. It is said. I've declared it as a promise. It is said." So this is something that we see in the Scriptures. But how much today do you believe, Pastor Love, as people are misquoting, misinterpreting, misappropriating the Bible? Behind all of it is a prince of darkness, that behind it all. So we've got all these different things that are going on in Christianity today, and it all has to do with, really, let's bring the Bible down. That's what people are trying to do. Let's bring the Bible down. But behind all of it is the enemy, is the absolute enemy behind all of it. It is man's old sin nature, lost man cooperating with the enemy. And just to bring the Scriptures to a place where they mean nothing at all. And I think if you were to ask people 100 years ago what they thought about the Bible, and you were to ask people that same question today, it's going to be quite a different answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite a different answer. Like, some people have never even opened the book up. I think millions of people have never opened the book up. There are some countries and some cultures that have no Bible written in their language still to this day. So we can see that the enemy has tried to hide the Bible, for sure. Not only from Christians, but from keeping people from ever coming to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. Because faith cometh by, this is one of the verses we want to use today, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how can I apply the Bible to my life? I mix faith with what the Bible says. Is there any other way? And here's an interesting point. Who wrote the Bible? I mean, the person that wrote the Bible was the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:22 and 23 was written by the Holy Spirit. So who can obey the Bible? The Holy Spirit. So when you're born again, who lives in you? The Holy Spirit. So the only one that can really obey the Bible is the one who wrote the Bible. When man tries to obey the Bible without God, it's a religious system of some type. It is a self-effort, which brings a lot of confusion into people's lives. But it is the person of the Holy Spirit that can obey the Bible. So how can I apply the Bible to my life? Faith. Because faith is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I need to mix faith with what I read and what I hear. Otherwise, it just becomes information. It becomes black letters on white pages. It becomes my notes or something like that. But nothing ever takes place because it's very clear that the enemy quoted the Bible. And I would dare to say that he knows a lot about the Bible, but he doesn't know the Bible in a spiritual way. You can know about it. There's a lot of religious systems that know a lot about the Bible. I've been through a lot of them in Africa, and it's amazing. They're not born again, but do they know the Bible? And they've even used the Bible to contest you who are a born-again believer who has the Bible and the Spirit. It's really interesting, you know. As religion, what did they say? Didn't the Pharisees do that? I think the Pharisees did that.
Sure.
They would always be attacking Jesus in relationship to the application of the scriptures and what he was saying, you know. So we thank God, number one, that we have a Bible. We thank God we're born again. Number two, we thank God we have a Bible. Number three, we thank God that we can hear the Bible being preached and being taught. And imagine being in a church, you're born again. This happened to me. I was born again. I was reading the Bible, but I was going to a place where there was no teaching or preaching or explanation of the Bible. And I would sit there shaking my head sometimes and wondering what's going on. And I said to somebody who was a representative of a ministry, I said, you say this, but the Bible says this. So which one would you have me to believe? And he said, you should believe me. I said, well, there's where we part ways forever, because I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm not going to believe you. Okay, unless you were using the Bible correctly. So there it was, you know. In other words, he wanted me to believe him instead of the Bible. And then he would be saying, well, you could be saved another way. You could be saved by baptism or regeneration. You could be saved by keeping the commandments. You could be saved by this and by that church attendance. No, we're saved by grace, born of the Spirit. So.
Amen. And it's interesting you said that, you know, the devil would like nothing more than to hide the Bible from people. And in contrast to that, for believers, God says, hide the word of God
in your heart.
In your heart.
Yeah.
Psalm 119, verse 11. And that becomes a challenge, a discipline, if you will, that can happen in our lives when we make the effort to hide the word of God in our hearts. The children of Israel, in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah spoke about them. And he said to them, he said, you listen to the message from God. It's like it's like sweet sounding music to you, but you do not receive it. You do not appropriate it. So think about it. Appreciation for the word without appropriation of the word leaves you with nothing for application for the word in your life.
Absolutely. It's just appreciation. That's all it is. But there's no application. There's no faith involved. So to apply the scriptures to my life, what's that all about? That's one of the things that we're supposed to be discussing. What does it mean to apply the scriptures to my life? Is to live by faith and let the life of the Spirit and the faith life be a controlling and determining decision maker in my life, in my relationship. That means when it comes to living as a man of God or a woman of God, I'm going to apply the scriptures to my life. In my marriage, I want to apply the scriptures to my life. Raising my children, I want to apply the scriptures to my life. Living with other believers, I want to apply the scriptures to my life. Bringing the gospel into a lost and dying world, I want to apply the scriptures to my life. Going to Bible school, what are we doing? We're applying the scriptures to our lives. And so the Bible has truth in every area that you could possibly imagine. There's no area where the Bible doesn't have an answer for that particular area.
Yeah.
Of course, that's being refuted by so many people that are unbelievers today. You know, they attack the Word of God. They go against the Word of God. The very thing that will judge them in Matthew 12:36 on the last day. Guess what? You're going to stand before the one who is the Word, and he's going to reveal the Word to you. So how important that is. Even when I went overseas on missions in the 80s, I remember like how little Bible knowledge there was. And in a country that would, maybe in countries that would claim to be very Christian, but did they really understand and know the Bible? Had anybody taught them the Bible? Well, they had great people with great hearts. They were born again. They were saved. But little did they know about the Word of God. It's like going to a place where you need to get your car fixed. And instead of going to a place where there's mechanics, you go to a carpenter shop and you ask the carpenter to fix your car. Well, the carpenter, well, there could be an occasion where he would, but I'm saying in most cases, a carpenter is not a car mechanic. So we're asking people that have no real depth, knowledge, application, faith, or trust in the Bible to really direct us and teach us and guide us and represent who Jesus Christ is. But, I mean, here's his name. I mean, John 1:1 is so clear to me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it says logos pros theos. The Word was facing God, and the Word absolutely is God. Mm. The Word is God. So if I don't have a desire for the Bible, would I dare say that maybe you don't have a desire for God? Mm. I mean, really, like, I'm not talking about Bible-thumping knowledge that elevates you with pride or something like that, but a receiving of the Word with meekness that delivers me on a daily basis.
Amen. Well, if you have a comment or a question that you'd like to ask, you can join us in the chat. And also, if you want to give us a call, you can do that too.
Remember that?
We'd love to hear that from some of you today as we talk about the application of the Bible in our lives. 800-338-7060 is a toll-free number. And we welcome your phone calls. So pick up that phone, join us, ask those questions, share those comments with us. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, which reminds us of the importance of mixing faith mm-hmm. with what we hear. You know, a lot of believers get stuck because they think, well, if I listen to the message, I'm not so sure that I can keep it. I'm not so sure that I can do it. Mm-hmm. But long before doing what the Bible instructs us to do, there has to be a receiving.
Yeah.
And I think that this is right. what really troubles some people is that, you know, you hear them say often, I just can't do it. Well, don't think about doing it. Think about receiving it, because the power of the Word of God is found in the Word of God. When you yeah. welcome the Word of God into your heart, you are right. welcoming the power and the dunamis of God itself.
Exactly.
And then now you're empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit to fulfill that which God has asked us to do.
Receive with meekness. That means the word meekness, praotes there, is receive without resisting, without reacting, without rebelling. Three R's. Resist, react, rebel. I receive it. And as I receive the word of God, it has power to change my life. You shall receive power, Acts 1:7-8. And here comes the word, and I receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to develop me, to change me, to deliver me. But if I just, you know, if I just read the Bible and put it down, and there's no mixing of faith at all, there's no faith at all. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word should produce faith.
Mm-hmm.
It should produce faith. Somebody says, well, where does faith come from? Read the Bible, and you begin to trust in God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how can people who never read the Bible or listen to the Bible, how will faith be developed in their lives? Is something just very natural, something that might have been foundational at one point, but it's not practical today. So nothing is taking place, you know, and how important it is, you know. Tonight we're talking about, and everybody's welcome at 6 o'clock, or 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we're talking about Ezra and Nehemiah. And our subject tonight is the Word, is the Bible. In Ezra chapter 7, Ezra was a man of the book. He studied the book, he read the book, he obeyed the book. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, Nehemiah built the wall, but Ezra was the man of the book. And Ezra, in Nehemiah chapter 8, he said, Ezra brought the book in front of all the people. And by the way, they listened to it, I think, for like 6 to 8 hours straight. Oh my God. If you go 8 minutes over the 45 minute mark, and some churches are ready to like walk out on you or begin to write you emails saying, how come the message was so long? I mean, hours of listening to the Bible from the morning to the midday. It's amazing. And so Nehemiah, in other words, he was responsible for the wall, but Ezra was the man of God. He built the temple and he built people by his preaching and teaching. This is right. I love what his name means, one who was helped by God. And he was the man of the book. This is the key. So without the book, what's going to take place? Okay, you might put a wall up, but how about developing walls in people's lives, developing people with the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God? Can you imagine I went to a Christian school and asked them one time, like, when do you have your Bible class? They said, we don't have one. Mm. I said, so why is this a Christian school? Oh, because we always pray to Jesus before we start. Mm. Oh, really? So you never, ever teach them the Bible? Teach them the Bible? What's missing? I can only speak for Africa. I think when I went to a country in 1984, 85, 86, I found in a country with millions of believers, two Bible schools. That was it. And each of those Bible schools had less than 20 to 30 students. And so a lot of Christianity there, a lot of Christianity there, but very little training. So you have a person that's untrained. He really is not equipped. He can pray. Maybe God can use him in some measure, but he can't be used the way God would have somebody to be used. These men in the scriptures, from what I understand, to test you as a rabbi, somebody told me this once. I'm not sure it's true, so don't call me a liar. But they took the Old Testament, they drove a nail through it. And then they pulled the nail out of the Old Testament, and wherever the hole was, you had to know the verse. That was the thing. You had to pretty much know the entire Old Testament. These rabbis memorized the scriptures. You know, people think, you know, Bible thumpers memorize the scriptures. Come on. You know, are they that important? And really, that's how people view it. They don't think much about the Bible. What do you want to know about alternative lifestyles? Read the Bible. What do you want to know about prayer? Read the Bible. What do you want to know about giving finances? Read the Bible. What do you want to know about how a government should operate? Read the Bible, you know? Read the Bible. What about a marriage? Read the Bible. How to raise kids? Read the Bible. You know, how to be an employer or a person that's being employed and really please God, read the scriptures. Mm. Read the scriptures.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 4:11-16. You know, he told Timothy, meditate on these things day and night. So
every minute you spend in the Bible is eternity.
Yes.
It's eternal in its nature. I remember the first time many, many years ago, someone invited me to go hear Pastor Stevens. It was the very first time I heard him. And I went, and when I got to the meeting, I had never heard him before, so I wasn't familiar with all of the language. I wasn't familiar with the vocabulary at that time. People around me were responding all the time and in a very, you know, profound way, and I just kept thinking, you know, what am I missing, you know? And I'll never forget afterwards, the brothers that brought me to that meeting, he asked me, he says, did you understand the message tonight? And I said, to be honest with you, no, I really didn't. But then he asked a follow-up question. He said this, he said, but did you receive it? Huh. And when he said that, I responded and said, yes, I did. And he said, that's all that matters. Oh. In other words, I wasn't resisting it. I wasn't rebelling against it. I wasn't saying no. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to allow it into my heart. I just didn't comprehend all of it. But I loved the question that he asked me. Did you receive it? And really, it comes down to that. If we want the Bible to be, you know, God's direction and purpose in our lives, we've got to start by receiving it. Don't resist it. Don't rebel against it. Submit to its authority. Submit to its power. And just open your heart. And I think that's what Mary did, being the sister of Martha.
Yeah.
Martha cumbered about with so many details, and so many distractions in Luke's gospel, chapter 10. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and received his word.
One thing is needful.
Yeah.
And she's chosen the good part. And by the way, I like this word, which shall not be taken from her. Which shall not be taken from her. Can you imagine that? In other words, there's going to be people that are going to try, even through Christian activity and good works, to take away the emphasis of the word in a ministry or in a person's life. They should be involved more with works. No, I need to have God's thoughts. Then I'll have God's ways. Isaiah 55:8-10, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So the thoughts come before the ways. People try to put the ways before the thoughts, and then they have no reason why they're even doing it. So God is saying, you need to know how I think. Jeremiah 29:10-11-12, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Do you know them? I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in the outcome. And this is so key. And we're told we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's pretty all-encompassing. Every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. One person told me one time, I was witnessing to them. They said, well, they were smoking dope while I was witnessing to them. You know, I don't know why I got that close. I shouldn't have. But they say, well, God gave us every green thing. It says it in the Bible. Well, there's an incorrect application. Use the scriptures in your life in an incorrect way. I said, well, could you come with me? I want to walk, and we'll take a walk to where there's a large patch of poison ivy, and I'd like you to roll in the poison ivy. Because, you know, it is a little bit green, and he gave you every good green thing for your benefit. Come on. That's ridiculous, you know. You're not going to roll in poison ivy. So it was incorrect use of the scripture. He's given us every green thing so we can smoke marijuana. You know, Jesus drank wine. No, he did not. Not the way we're looking at it today. Okay? So it's an incorrect way in which the scriptures are applied. They apply it incorrectly. And there's so many times that this happens. How about somebody that says, I'm an apostle? Really? What does that mean? Now, you could be apostle small a apostolos, okay? And that means a sent one. But there's no big A apostles anymore. So they would use the scriptures in an incorrect way. They use the scriptures in an incorrect way. And they would justify decisions and making decisions in their life based upon using the scriptures incorrectly. And this goes on all over the place, using certain scriptures to claim that there is no Trinity. You see that they use the scriptures incorrectly. When we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, precise persons and having the same nature and character, but they're different. So how do we use the scriptures in an incorrect way? And it says, how do I avoid this? Well, learn the Bible. Learn the scriptures in a correct way. Right? Not just sitting around. You know, some people, they go to church once a week and maybe they hear the Bible for, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes. Like, there's 168 hours in a week. Can you imagine how much time we could be hearing other things? Think about it. How many people really listen to the Bible on a continual basis or spend any time in it on a continual daily basis? So, amen.
Yeah. I remember as a young believer being a part of a home church at that time back in the early 1970s. A number of those believers in that little house church decided that they were going to take what they called a Bible Memorization Association course, where they were going to literally take 7 to 10 scriptures a week and commit them to memory.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, coming out of a lifestyle that was anything but godly, and then finding myself in the company of these people on a consistent basis, I thought, well, sure, I guess I've got nothing else to do. I'm not running around anymore. I'm not running to the parties. I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. I'm not living an ungodly life. So I guess I'll learn the Bible.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something, those years of taking the Bible and hiding it in my heart, mm-hmm. and committing those scriptures to memory, and I did hundreds of scriptures I committed to memory. And I had no idea, you know, how it would benefit me, how much it would profit me. But to this day, I am eternally grateful mm-hmm. for taking that time and putting the effort in to hide the Word of God in my heart. Because, again, you can't go wrong when you take something like the eternal Word of God and you hide it in your mm-hmm. heart. You have it so that it deals with the crises in your life, it deals with the challenges of your life, it mm-hmm. deals with the tests of your life, the trials of your life. So much is given to us when we take the Word mm-hmm. of God into our hearts. And let it dwell in us richly, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16.
Yeah.
Which means we're going to meditate upon it, we're going to consider it, and we're going to let it revolve in our minds, and boy, the benefits, you could just draw a long, long list of those benefits.
You know what I do too? I love this, and I'm sure many people do this, but I love writing the Bible verses. I love not just reading, but writing them down. I feel like when I'm writing, it helps me to remember more than anything else, because it's like my hand is connecting with my brain, and I'm remembering what the scriptures say. And this is so key, because the enemy is out with an onslaught of all kinds of projections. are coming at us so that we would stay away from the Bible, so we wouldn't think with God, to be no thinking with God at all. And this is so important. Paul used the word phroneo in Philippians so many times, how to have a mindset. So I don't have just a passing thought. You committed them to memory, you said, right?
Yes.
It wasn't going to be a passing thought, but it was going to be a mindset, a pattern of thinking. And you can see this is what was developed in the early days. I mean, this is what the Jews did. They learned the scriptures. They studied the scriptures. They meditated upon the scriptures. They memorized the scriptures. And this is what we're told to do today. But I'm afraid to say that maybe there's a lot of churches and Christians that don't even present that to people at all, that this is very vital and important for their life. They want them to live by their so-called spiritual feelings, you know, and spiritual feelings. And that's what's going to do it. But living by every word of God. Now, I'm going to give you an example of something that happened. It's kind of a crazy story, but it's okay. Being in a certain place, there's a lot of witchcraft in this particular place, and it's in Africa. Okay. And I remember, when I was preaching one time, there came a woman at me, but she was not walking on the ground. She was walking on the air. Totally a demonic projection, totally a demonic reality. And I was, you're taken aback by that, a little bit frightened by that. But I started to quote the Bible. And as I quoted the Bible, the person dropped from the ground and then they started to run away. It was the scriptures that sent this away, whatever it was, you know. And this is so key, that how do we deal with the devil, the world, and the flesh? It's with the scriptures. Satan hates the Bible. He hates the Bible. And he does not want, you're born again. Yes, and I know you're born of the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. But let's leave it there, okay? Let's not be people that are going to learn the Bible and then proclaim the Bible, study the Bible, believe the Bible, live the Bible, raise your children according to the Bible. You're going a little bit too far. You're an extremist. And that's what the enemy wants to tell us. That's, by the way, and he is the God of this world. So if you get you go to a university and see how much they talk about the Bible, unless it's a Christian school, Christian Bible college or something like that. But do you think you hear about the Bible? I went to like 5 universities. I never heard anybody talk about the Bible. And I'm talking about going to universities in the 60s and 70s. I never heard anybody talk about the Bible. And I thought to myself, like, okay, what's going on here? Are they so afraid of it, or they just don't want to proclaim it because they think that, you know, they don't believe it to be God's word at all? So this was so interesting to me that I never heard it. Then I'm driving down the street. I remember the street one day. It was in, I think it was 1986, and it was a time in, we're getting towards the winter. And I was in my car. I was working and going someplace, and I heard, I was playing with the dial, you know, because I was waiting. It was a lot of snow and whatnot, and we weren't making very much progress on the road. So I was playing with the dial, and all of a sudden, I heard somebody preaching about the Bible. It was Pastor Stevens, and it was on 760. It was WACE at the time. And I thought to myself, what is this? I never heard anything like it, you know, verse after verse after verse and preaching. So I had my brother, we listened to it one day together. I said, I want you to listen to this, okay, and whatnot, and tell me what you think. So after he heard it and I heard it, I decided I need to find the voice. I need to find this voice wherever this voice is. And fortunately, because I was in Massachusetts, it wasn't very far away. It was only like an hour and 10 minutes away. And I went to Lenox and I found the voice, and I found people of the Bible. And that was the beginning. Otherwise, I don't know where I would have gone with this Christianity in my life. I don't know what I would have done. But now we have students all over the world. I think somebody told me that there's like 4,000 Bible college students in our ministries around the world. We have 1,300 in Africa alone. We have 55 Bible schools. Wherever we plant the church, I want a Bible school or within proximity to it, because we want people to learn the Word of God. This is so key.
Yeah, all right. I mean, how else will you know, or could you ever know, about who God is without the Bible? How else would you know or understand what your purpose in life is, why you're here, without the Bible? How else would you know how to have a sense, a personal sense of identity
yeah.
without the Bible. How else would you know where you're going to end up when this life, this temporal existence comes to a conclusion without the Bible?
Yeah, without the Word, you know?
The Word of God yeah. has all the answers. I love what someone once said. They said, if you took me and you put me in a dungeon and you shut me up in that dungeon and you gave me nothing but a Bible and a candle, he says, I could tell you what's going on in the world. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible is so relevant. It's so applicable to life.
Yes.
It's not something that's so far removed from us.
Yeah.
Think about the characters that the Bible speaks about. These mm-hmm. are not people that were, perfect people, impeccable people. They had flaws. They had yes. weaknesses. They had setbacks. They had problems. They're a lot like us.
Yes,
I mean, when
they
the Bible
are.
Paints the pictures of some of the characters that it exalts so highly. I mean, God paints them warts and all.
Yeah. And we can see that the Word changed them. Jesus, who was the Word. I was thinking about the 12. You had one who was a devil. He went away. One who was a denier. He denied the Lord three times with a sixfold denial. You had a number of other 10 deserters. Made 9 deserters and a doubter, which ended up being a deserter. Look, what changed these men? When you look at the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started to proclaim the Word. How did 3,000 get saved? Just read Acts chapter 2 and read what Peter preached. He preached the Word. I once counted 48 scriptural references in Stephen's message to the Sanhedrin in Acts 7, cross-references and whatnot. I know that you say, wait a minute, that's a lot. But I'm talking about, if I found one verse, it was another verse that said the same thing someplace else. He was a man of the book. And by the way, they killed him because he was a man of the book. And by the way, you bring the book into places in this world and even into in America and places in systems that reject the Bible, you're in for trouble. There's going to be some trouble, you know, and yet we're not afraid of trouble because in this world we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we've got the Word. We've got the Word.
Yeah, we've got the Word, all right. Yeah. And there's such, as you pointed out at the beginning of the program today, there's such resistance yeah. from the God of this world, from the prince yes. of the power of the air, to keep people from the Bible. I think of the proverb in the scripture that says, wisdom is too high for a fool. Now, yeah. the fool there is not the intellectual fool. And it says that wisdom is too high for the fool. The fool is the person is not willing to pay the high price mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. might have to be paid to get the Word of God into your soul. I mean,
absolutely.
Wouldn't you say
yeah.
there is a price to pay? There are sacrifices
sure.
to be made to get this wisdom from God into our lives and into our hearts?
Absolutely, because I'm going to have to put myself in front of the Word. I'm going to have to say in my heart, I want to know the Word. I'm going to have to take the time on a regular basis with God's Word. I'm going to have to come and hear the Word of God preached and being taught. Maybe Bible school is an absolute must, I think. There's some people that never, ever get trained in the Word, and that you can only go so far. Can you imagine if you heard about an Olympic runner? He was going to be running the 100-yard dash, and they said he's really unique. He never trains at all. You begin to wonder about his ability to win the race without any training at all. They train and they train hard. And so we train in the scriptures. We're trained in the Word of God. And this is so key. If you read 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, you can see these men of God, Timothy and Titus, they were men of the book. They were men of the book, and they were being trained. Paul trained them. Paul taught them. And he went, and as they followed him, they heard the Word. It was God's Word continuously. And that's what developed them into men and women of God. Women need to learn the Bible also, not just men.
Mm.
Teenagers, the Bible. Young people, the Bible. Start them out in a practical way, even when they're young. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with having a 5, 6, or 7-year-old learning the Bible, learning verses, understanding that God's Word is eternal, right? That's
yes.
interesting. It's eternal. So,
yeah. I mean, I know in youth ministry throughout the years, the Bible has always been the priority. you can gather young people together. You can have all kinds of athletics and all kinds of sports, all kinds of activities, all kinds of entertainment, mm-hmm. which a lot of ministries are all about today. But if you leave out the Word of God, you're denying them the possibility of their lives to be transformed.
Yes.
Because the entertainment doesn't transform anybody. The activities don't necessarily transform anybody. They're all good and they're all beneficial and they can help with the program that you're putting together. But without the Bible, nobody's life gets changed.
There is no change. There is no change. Or maybe it could change from being a bad person to a good person, but not a godly person. They can be good, but not godly, you know? And this is what we need. Can you imagine if we had leaders in our country, senators, mayors, governors, representatives of the government that were men of the Bible? Can you imagine? Is that ever possible? It's really interesting. I'm not saying that we don't have some that are, okay, we can say there can be people that are born again in these positions. But my question is, do they know the Word? This is a very important thing. Just because they're born again doesn't necessarily mean they can make a lot of progress in doing the things of God without the Word.
Yeah.
You can be saved, born again, but without the Word, where are you at? How do you think? What's your thinking like? Are you trained in your thinking, you know? And this is so important, you know?
I have a friend that I know. He has a ministry down in Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. The name of his ministry is called Hope to the Hill. And he brings the gospel, and they have Bible studies, and they have times of fellowship with legislators, with senators, with representatives in the House of Congress, which is really remarkable.
That's great. Yeah.
I know. So there is hope in that sense that even our legislators and people that are in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Congress, they're getting the gospel message. Because imagine if they, who influence the country, are influenced by the Word of God. That brings us to a place where we might have some hope in our land.
I find that like in some countries, especially in Africa, I remember meeting the president of Liberia one time, and he said, what information, and why are you here, and what's the reason for you coming to this country? He was right in his office. And I said, to make sure that you're born again and that the Bible's important in Liberia, in the life of Liberians. He said to me, I really thank you because many people come here with other intentions, but you are more concerned with my soul and my life and people being spiritual in this country through the Word of God. And he said, you can do whatever you want in this country. You have carte blanche. He just said, here's my card. Do whatever you want. Now, I could have really gone far with that, but I didn't. But really, it was like sometimes we get intimidated by people that are what we would call advanced in our societies or in civilization. And really, what they need is God himself.
Yeah,
they really do.
I think of the great radio broadcast that was hosted for so many years by J. Vernon McGee. And it simply was called Back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if there were ever a time that our nation needed to go back to the Bible, it's now, because we are a divided country. Politics seems to have taken the place of the preaching of the gospel, and we need to get back to the Bible. Our nation needs to get back to heeding what the scriptures have to say. Then and only then can we have hope.
It's not this party or that party or this person or that person, this politician or that politician. It's the Word. As people getting transformed, getting saved, and not just saved, but being men and women of the book.
Yeah.
Men and women of the book.
Amen.
This is so key. We'll be talking about the book tonight. We're going to be preaching and teaching on Nehemiah and the importance. By the way, our subject tonight is the importance of the Word.
Praise God.
Really what we're talking about with Ezra and Nehemiah. We already said that Ezra was a man of the book, and this is so key. And how the book can develop my mind. I need to think with God. Okay, let this mind be in you. It's a decision. I have to make a decision to let God's thinking be in me. Otherwise, what am I thinking about? When I think of any subject, what am I thinking about? What is my reference point? Where do I get truth from?
I love that comment from Daphne Self down in Texas. She writes in Psalm 138, verse 2, that God magnifies his word above his name.
Imagine that.
That is incredible. That is how important the word is to God himself.
Because you could use the name Jesus Christ, and there are people that are using the name Jesus Christ that are not even saved. You got all kinds of groups out there. They're not born again. They don't really believe in every word of God. And so he's magnified his word above all his name, because there are people that use the name Jesus Christ, but they have nothing to do with God at all. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all this, I don't even want to mention them that are out there, but it's really incredible. So people say, well, the name. I understand that, but what about the word?
Yeah.
What about
Amen.
The word?
How about, as we wrap up today's broadcast, Pastor Shibeli, some practical ways in which we can apply the Bible to our lives?
Well, practical ways that I can apply the Bible to my life. As I'm reading the scriptures, in my relationships with people mm-hmm. on a daily basis, do I think with God in those relationships? Mm-hmm. Okay. How I handle my own personal life. In other words, do I understand that sin has been paid for? That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Do I understand I have a calling and a purpose? That's what the Bible says. So these are some practical ways that I can walk with God in a personal walk with God, and then I can walk with God in my relationships with other people. I can walk with God through his word in my family, in my marriage, in my relationships at work, wherever it may be. These are practical ways to apply the Bible. Somebody said, we're all going out after work to get a drink. We're going to have a few drinks. No, not going to be me. I'm going to drink from the word. You know, that's a practical way. I'm not going to like fudge and cheat little things when it comes to finances in areas. I'm going to believe the Bible and stand on truth. Many practical ways. Yeah. So many practical ways.
Even in our communication with each other,
yeah.
You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Mm-hmm. I mean, how would we know how to communicate to others without
the scripture,
that
yeah.
precedent given to us in the scriptures?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a text message this morning from another precious brother, and he wrote something that was so edifying and so uplifting, and mm-hmm. it just built my soul. And I thought to myself, that man is being biblical.
Yes, yes. How about those people that write other things, you know? Like, disregard them.
Yes.
I tell people I don't even read emails, you know. Like, I can tell within two words in the email it's not positive. So I trash it and don't even give that person the idea that I'm even reading it at all, because I'm not.
I mean, the scripture goes so far as to even remind us how to order our thinking. Again, yeah. Philippians chapter 4, what does it say? Think on these things. Whatsoever
yes.
things are pure, just, holy, right, if they're virtuous, if there's a good report.
Yeah.
Think on these things. I mean, the Bible, it literally goes yeah. so far as to tell us what to think, how to think, and we learn how to think yeah. with God.
Philippians is a great, great epistle to read about how to think with God. You find so many references. I think I found like 19 references to joy, but something like 21 references to the word or doctrine or truth, something like that. It's amazing. So if you think with God, it produces joy. You know, I did find thy word and I ate it, and it was a joy and rejoicing. Right to my heart, I am called by thy name. So the word give you joy. Mm. Who doesn't want joy today?
We need joy. So we'll close with this. A couple of quick questions, Pastor Shibeli. If someone is dealing with fear today, what would we tell
Perfect
them about
love casts out fear.
There you go.
1 John 4:18.
Okay, here's another one. I'm dealing with anxiety.
Matthew chapter 6, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Don't take a thought. It means don't take a thought that's contrary to God's thinking. And then we also see Philippians chapter 4 speaks about that, the peace of God that passes understanding. I've got peace with God.
I'm struggling in my marriage. My wife is giving me problems.
Well, see your wife in the finished work, John 19:30, and then casting down vain imaginations, 2 Corinthians 10:4, and that I love with an everlasting love. And then 1 John 4:11 through the end of the chapter, so many times the word of God talks about God's love. Love your wife.
Sounds like the Bible's got an answer to all of our questions.
Everything, even to Jehu's situation.
Friends, we're out of time, but thanks so much for joining us for this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. You heard Pastor Shibeli invite you earlier to his class tonight, which begins at 6:30.
Yep.
Come on out and hear about the importance of the word of God. We hope you have a great weekend. If you don't have a local church in the Baltimore area, why don't you come on out and visit us at the Greater Grace World Outreach at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. And our services begin at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, 11 a.m., and then 6:30 Sunday evening. Have a great weekend, friends. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Until Monday at the same time, may God bless you.